Hi there, this is Prague Talk, a podcast from Radio Prague International. My name is Ian Willoughby. My guest this time is the music journalist and academic Miloš Hroch. Miloš is the author of a brand new book mapping the local shoegaze music scene in the heady days of the early 1990s, entitled Whisper Aloud, Czech Shoegaze Between the East and the West. Back in those days, Czech bands in the noisy but dreamy shoegaze genre were covered in the UK music press in a way that's never happened since. The best known of the groups, the Ecstasy of St. Teresa, made the independent music charts and signed with a well-known UK label. But the book also looks at other groups, including Here, who like EOST recorded a session for DJ John Peel's show, Toyen and Naked Souls. I spoke to Miloš Hroch just a couple of days before Whisper Aloud came out for this edition of Prague Talk. Miloš, you were born in 1989, so pretty much the same time this music genre was starting. Why did you want to write a book about the Czech shoegaze scene in the early 90s?
I guess one of the reasons was pretty personal, because I sort of wanted to understand more the context of the era to which I was born, in a way, if that doesn't sound too cliche. But also later on, when I started working as music journalist, I sort of found out this trove or treasure in the early 90s, all those records that were pretty famous, or they had a reputation at their time, but we sort of forgotten about them. We sort of sometimes remind the successes those bands had, but we didn't really dig into all the relationships and dynamics of the scene at that time, especially because it happened between Prague and London, and nobody really asked the UK journalists how they listened to those bands and how they perceived them. So I sort of wanted to fix it. And also I didn't understand why nobody did it before me. So
for people who don't know shoegaze music, it's kind of guitar-heavy music with lots of effects and often ethereal vocals. It's most associated with My Bloody Valentine, also bands like Ride and Slowdive. Why do you think this particular genre caught on here with at least a small group of people, but people who achieved something?
It was the first genre that could exist in London and Prague at the same time without any delay, because in the pre-revolution times there was something called what we call information blockade, which was more or less fluid. But this could happen at the same time in Prague and London. There were institutions such as British Council, which sourced Czech music fans with magazines like NME or Melody Maker, so they had some sources here. But also, I guess it has to do something with the post-revolution dynamics, because Prague became this new Berlin. A lot of people from the UK or from the US wanted to go to Prague. There was a good bohemian culture here. So I guess that there were like more influences or more factors at once. And there are also some other more like things that has to do something with imagination, I guess, something what called André Breton, that Prague is a magic city, I guess. So and shoegaze has a lot to do with things that are you cannot express them in words. So maybe there's also something magic there.
But were there also some kind of obstacles to the Czech shoegaze bands in terms of even acquiring the kind of equipment that their heroes or their inspirers in the UK were using?
I guess they were, at many times, they were trying to guess how to achieve the sound My Bloody Valentine were making, for instance. But after the revolution in 1990-1991, they were able to buy this equipment, and they were trying to not to buy it only in Prague, in shops with equipment, in a rock cafe club, for instance. But they were going to Berlin to get some of their like pedal effects or distortion boxes they were dreaming of, and so on. So, but I guess, for instance, Ecstasy of Saint Teresa, they had a bass player and guitarist Jan Gregar and Jan Muchov. They had like in total like 30 effects and distortion boxes. So they could achieve pretty good sound.
At Ecstasy of Saint Teresa, they were like the main Czech shoegaze band.
Yeah, I guess they were sort of pioneers. By some circumstances nobody can till today well describe. Their CD got to John Peel, and John Peel recognized the band and played it on BBC Radio 1, and then he invited Ecstasy of Saint Teresa to London to play John Peel session, and I guess that's the start of it. It really kicked or ignited the scene, I suppose.
I often think one reason for their success was they chose the best name. Imagine if they were called something like Bongo Bongo Bongo.
yeah, the name really ignites the imagination and like makes you think about all the stuff, and I guess also it's a few. Imagine Saint Teresa swooning, Saint Teresa, it's pretty much like captures what shoegaze is about.
Well, shoegaze music also is seen as vaporous, even kind of wishy-washy. But at the same time, you write that Jan Muchov, the founder of Ecstasy of Saint Teresa, was really uninterested in pre-1989 underground music. And he was even against a lot of popular elements in Czech culture like Jara Zimmermann, Švejk and all that kind of thing, Hrabal.
For him, also Czech shoegaze or shoegaze music meant the device or the rupture with the pre-revolution culture, pre-revolution music. So it was the year zero, like 1990. So they wanted to have a new start with something that nobody did before them. And shoegaze music was pretty much anti-rockist. They were not about all the stuff rock stars were doing. They were more introvert and introverted.
Also, you write that there was some kind of altercation between Ivan Martin Jiros, the poet who was a close associate of the Plastic People of the Universe, and some associate of Ecstasy of Saint Teresa, maybe somewhere outside Prague.
That was René Brejla, the first manager of Ecstasy of Saint Teresa. René Brejla went to Ivan Martin Jiros and I guess band Extempore somewhere on a gig to Slovakia, and Ivan Martin Jiros was just talking about the old days, and René Brejla wanted to bring some of the new stuff that's happening in Prague, like some of the new music, new sounds. And he always interrupted him, like he said, no, I'm not interested in that. And then René Brejla tried to break through that wall, and he sort of slapped him. That's the story.
Rock and roll. Ecstasy of Saint Teresa, as you say, they got this John Peel session. Another band here from Moravia, Vyshkov, they also had a Peel session. This must have been an amazing thing for music fans here in the Czech Republic.
Yeah, definitely. Here, as I perceive them, were more like underdogs, probably also given the geography. But Ecstasy of Saint Teresa were quite amazed when they first time when they came to Vyshkov to play a gig, because they came there and they came to Moravia, somewhere outside Prague, and everybody knew the music. They were like really knowledgeable about all the Czech shoegaze stuff, so they felt like, yeah, this is our place, because every time they played outside Prague, it was disaster. Jan Muchov described it as from Easy Rider movie, you know.
Is that because like the local people didn't appreciate the music, or the sound men at the venues didn't like what they were doing?
I guess that was the mixture of stuff. Sound engineers was one thing, and also people didn't really understand why the guitar riffs are not readable. They cannot understand the lyrics, and it was something really new for them. While in Prague, they had their audience. But yeah, you were asking about here. It was probably also given by the successes of Ecstasy of St. Theresa. They were prepared for Czech shoegaze in a way in London. And John Peel recognized the CD by Hear, their debut album Swirl, by accident. Probably some Czech editor or Czech BBC correspondent brought it to him or brought it to his attention, and he liked the cover of Swirl. And then it happened. He invited Hear to London to play their BBC Peel session.
I often wondered as well if the fact that shoegaze music doesn't foreground lyrics or vocals also benefited the Czech bands, because many of them wouldn't have had great English. Some of them would have had very rudimentary English, but still they were singing in English. But the fact that the vocals weren't foregrounded maybe helped them.
UK music journalist Simon Reynolds had this concept of oceanic rock, which described bands like A.R. Kane, Cocteau Twins, but also you can throw in My Bloody Valentine, shoegaze stuff. And he said that their lyrics came as from nowhere, or the language came from unknown lands or something like that. And I guess for people who started only learning English after the 1989, it worked really well, because vocals were really drowned in the mix, so they didn't really have to pronounce it well, and so on and so on. So for some of those bands, it worked really good.
Is there anything about Czech shoegaze that you feel is specific to Czech shoegaze? For example, in the book you quote Simon Price as saying that Ecstasy of St. Theresa were shoegaze, but positive, I think he said.
That's correct. And Simon Price, when he first time he saw Ecstasy of St. Theresa in London's Bullen Gate, he said, like, do you remember My Bloody Valentine, the first time you listened to something like Loveless? You have to listen to Ecstasy of St. Theresa. There's also another interview with writer Tom McCarthy, who lived here in the early 90s, the author of books like Remainder, Sea, or Man in Space, his Czech shoegaze novel, as I dub it. And he said that he felt like those bands, the Czech shoegaze bands and bands like Ecstasy of St. Theresa, they had the weight of history on their backs. And they were more positive than bands in the UK. So I guess there was something, I guess the Velvet Revolution gave Czech shoegaze a bit different context.
Ultimately, though, none of these bands, even Ecstasy of St. Theresa, they had these Peel sessions, they did get in the UK indie charts, but it burned out pretty fast. Why do you think it never really went anywhere for these groups?
Maybe the reason is that the whole shoegaze scene, also in the UK, sort of disappeared by mid-1990s. The bands, they wanted to move forward from the shoegaze sound, they wanted some kind of development, so they moved into post-rock phase. They were influenced by IDM or ambient music, and they wanted just to move forward. And then also Ecstasy had their contract signed as one of the probably first former Eastern Bloc bands signed a contract with London label. They had their contract, they recorded probably one of their best albums, 3D, released in 1994. But then their singer said that she's not interested in playing with Ecstasy anymore, and it like organically dissolved it. They dissolved the band.
Well, you interviewed a lot of people for the book. I guess they're all now in their 50s, some of them even older. Some of the members of Toyen, for example, would have been in their 30s at the time. How do they look back on this period in their lives?
It's probably one of the best periods of their lives. Jiří Šimeček, the drummer from Toyen, he's a really good archivist, and I guess the fact that he has such a good archive also is given by the fact that he wants to live in that era, like forever. So for many of them, it's one of the best days of their lives, as I see it. And for some, they don't like suffer nostalgia that much. but always important phase of their lives. And for me, sometimes I'm a bit skeptical about all those stories about '90s, how free the whole decade was, and so on. But like these early days in 1990s, it must have been really amazing with all the stuff that was happening at the time.
For me, there are quite a few nuggets of information in the book that I didn't know. For example, that the now very well-known movie director David Ondříček played with Toyen and had a music label.
Oh, yeah. He played in the early days in Toyen. He was really into David Sylvian and Japan, which I was really glad to hear. And he had this label where he released some of the stuff from Priznitz or Proza, more goth rock or post-punk bands.
What instrument did he play?
He played keyboards.
Also, the book for me was very much a kind of walk down memory lane at the personal level, because I also used to go to the British Council and read the music magazines and so on. Also, some of the people that you refer to I have known, like, for example, Glenn Emery, the bar owner. Also, there's another character in the book that's interesting, Colin Stewart, who I don't know, but I've met. What was his role in the whole thing? He was a British sound engineer, was he, or producer?
Yeah, he was a British musician, sound engineer, and then he became the like shadow architect of the Czech shoegaze sound, I would say. And probably that's another factor. You asked previously why shoegaze landed in Prague. And probably it's also because of Colin Stewart, one of the people from the UK who moved to Prague, who helped to build that sound, I guess, because he had the knowledge of how to do it in technical terms.
And also, ex-CF St. Teresa stayed with his family when they were recording the Peel session.
Oh, yeah. They had the accommodation there. Part of the band lived inside their house, but because it didn't have that many rooms that it would require, two of the key members, Jan Gregar and Jan Muchov, had to sleep in the caravan that was parked outside the house. And it was freezing out there because it was January, right? But they had this like memory how they record the Peel session. They had it on the cassette and they play it in the caravan, and the breath, the freezing breath goes from their mouths. But they are like so happy because they are holding the best record they ever recorded.
And now, 30 plus years later, how well do you feel this music stands up? Is it still listenable today?
There are some records that aged really well, and if you listen to them, they sound contemporary to me. For instance, here's Entre du Soleil from 1996, when here the band from Vyškov moved already to their post-rock phase. I think that's one of the hidden treasures of 1990s. And also the Peel session from Ecstasy of St. Teresa is pretty good. And 3D, I think, also aged really well. During the work I spent on the book, we did a listening session at this techno club Ankali, where a lot of young people came. They listened to 3D and they were like, it was like fully booked. And everybody was fascinated by the sound they were making. But Jan Muchov, we had the interview there, and he always like tried to, this is just accident. Yeah, this will be boring, like that it's 10 minutes of ambient. But you could see that the audience really immersed in listening to the record.
But still, for example, that album you're talking about isn't on Spotify. The only Ecstasy of St. Teresa that is the stuff from later when they became a different group entirely, doing kind of trip-hop music. How much of this music can you find now online?
Some of the Ecstasy records, you can find them not on Spotify, but you can find them on other streaming platforms. Then you have to dig into the archives of YouTube, into the depths of YouTube. And we can only hope that there will be some reissues in the following years of this music. And it's already happening. For instance, another band, dreamy guitar, dream pop, dream gaze band, Naked Souls. There is this Chicago label Painted Air, and they released a double LP of Naked Souls, like reissue. So we can only hope that there will be more records coming.
Hugely impressive to me. You have written about Axios Centuries for The Guardian. You've also had just recently a piece on The Quietus about here, an extract from your book. Is there much international interest in the Czech shoegaze scene?
I think there are still people who can remember the gigs here or Ecstasy of Santa Teresa played in 1990s, early 1990s in London. So there is definitely some audience, and I guess globally or internationally, there's some interest in digging into the shoegaze history and digging into shoegaze history from different geographies outside London. So yes.
Many thanks to Miloš Hrok for that interview. There are no plans at present for an English language version of Whisper Aloud, Czech Shoegaze Between the East and the West. But as we just heard, an extract about the band here was recently published on the website The Quietus, and that's definitely worth searching out. Prague Talk is a podcast by Radio Prague International, and if you're new to the pod and enjoyed this conversation, why not look up some of the scores of earlier editions? And of course, click subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For now, that's all from me, Ian Willoughby. Thank you so much indeed for listening to Prague Talk, and talk to you again very soon.